Evening. Good to be here tonight. Anybody gonna smile tonight? All right. A little bit out anyway, okay? It's good to be here. It's good to be in the Lord's house as always. And I'm glad to have the privilege tonight to stand before you. This is a sacred place. I realize that. And I take it sincerely as I have the opportunity to come and open the Word of God to you tonight. And I'm just glad to be here. And I'm glad you're back tonight. And I trust you had a good day today. And we're looking forward to another good week. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I want to speak tonight about something that we talk about a lot around here. And but you know, I wonder sometimes when we talk about things, do we really mean what we say? I find myself sometimes questioning myself, you know, about what I'm saying. Do I really mean what I say, or am I just saying it? You ever find yourself that way? And tonight, as we look in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, I want to look at something that I know we all are interested in to some degree. But I want us to look at what Paul says about this subject tonight, what he's given to us in regards to it, and yet we find ourselves sometimes have still some questions about it, but yet we just look to the Word of God and to God to give us our answers for what we need. And, you know, we never know what tomorrow is going to hold, do we? We never know what we're going to do tomorrow. We never know what we have accomplished today. Really, sometimes we look back and say, what did I accomplish, you know, with my life today? But nevertheless, we're glad that God gives us these days that He does. It's kind of like I heard a little funny. Maybe I'll get you to laugh a little bit. I don't know if you'll laugh or not, but do your best, okay? But nevertheless, this guy was talking to his broker, stockbroker, and he was asking about this year what he thought was going to be good for him to invest in. Should I keep my money in stocks or bonds, or what's going to be happening to them, or should I put it in foreign currency, or whatever should I do with it? You know, I want to do the best I can do, and I want you to give me your advice. And the broker said, well, you know, with Obama in office, as long as Obama's in office, probably canned goods, water, and ammunition is your best bet. It's probably true. Probably true. Nevertheless, praise the Lord anyway. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read one verse of scripture first. We're going to cover two chapters tonight, believe it or not. No, we're not going to be here to midnight, but we're going to go through two chapters, okay? The Lord willing, being our helper. I want to talk tonight along this line, of course, the rapture of the church. I'm looking forward to that day. I know you are. But I want to remind us tonight, as we say, I'm looking forward to that day. I want us to remind myself and remind you tonight of some challenges when we say that. I mean, we can say it. We can say anything. I can say I'm a Christian, and I can put on the front whether I am or I'm not. I can say I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord, but the Lord knows my heart where I am or not. There are some challenges here in these verses right here tonight I want us to look at. In regards to this, I'd like to give you an illustration first, if I can. This is not maybe the best illustration, but it's an illustration, but often I'm going to use you. You don't mind, do you? No, nod your head, no. Okay. Brother Alford, I know in the past, has been since he retired especially, has in many times, sometimes, played golf. He likes to play golf part-time, sometimes. But if I knew, I know that about him, and if I was to say to Brother Alford, Brother Alford, you know, one day I'd love to go play golf with you. He'd say to me, okay, Brother Keith, we'll plan that, and we'll go together one day, okay? And time would go by, maybe a week or 10 days, and he ain't come back to me yet about that time we're going to play golf. So I'd approach him again. I'd say, Brother Alford, do you remember that I said to you that I wanted to go play golf with you one day? He said, yeah, I remember that. And, you know, I said, well, I still want to go. He says, okay. Well, another week or 10 days come and not hear from Brother Alford. He ignores me. In fact, he wouldn't even come by me no more. I haven't run him down to talk to him. You know, but nevertheless, I go back to him again, third time. I said, Brother Alford, did you forget that I want to go play golf with you one day? He said, no, I didn't forget, Brother Keith. We'll go one day. I said, okay, I'll leave it at that. And the first thing I knew, one Saturday morning about 7 o'clock, someone knocked on my door. I rolled out of bed. I went to the door, opened the door, and there was Brother Alford. He said, you ready to go play golf? I said, sure, I'm ready to go. Give me just a minute. He went on back to his vehicle. I jumped in my clothes. I ran out the door, ran out to the vehicle where he was, and got in the vehicle to go play golf. Brother Alford looked at me and said, Brother Keith, he said, are you going to play golf with me? I said, yes, I am. He said, where's your golf clubs? I said, oh, I don't have no golf clubs. I don't have no golf clubs. How are you going to play golf without golf clubs? I don't know, Brother Alford. I just want to go play golf. I just want to go play golf. Now, I give you that illustration to make a point about the rapture of the church, okay? I am eager to go play golf with Brother Alford, but I do not have in view in my mind what it's going to take for me to go play golf. Okay? All I got in mind is going to play golf. Not the equipment, not the balls, not the golf clubs, whatever it is. I don't have that in my thought at all. All I want to do is play golf. I'm not thinking about what I got to have to play golf when I get there. Now, we're looking forward to the Lord to come, aren't we? But what kind of preparation do we have before He comes? Are we prepared for Him to come? Say, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Well, that's good. That's great. But in order for us to get the blessings that God has for us down here and have some in store when we get to heaven, there are some challenges that we need to be aware of as God's people while we're here on this earth. There's some things we need to be doing, some things that we need to be busy about while we're here as we focus upon this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight with thankful hearts. We thank you for this opportunity to be together once again. We thank you for the Word of God that brings us together. Lord, that we might open it, that we might read it together. Lord, we might teach it. Lord, we might understand it, and we might apply it. To God, may the Spirit of God tonight be our teacher. May He direct us in what we say and what we do tonight. Lord, help us, Lord, as we look at this subject tonight, Lord, to be challenged, Lord, and be reminded, Lord, that you're going to come one day. It might be today. God, help us to be prepared. Help us to be ready. Lord, help us to be expecting, Lord, you to come when you come. Help us to be watchful, as your word encourages us to do that. Lord, I just pray now you'd have your will and way in this service. May your people tonight be challenged. May they be encouraged. Lord, at that great day that's come up around one of these days. We don't know when. No man knows the hour. No man knows the day. Only the Father knows when it's going to take place. We're thankful for that now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The mockers and scoffers today would say to us, you fundamentalists talk about the rapture. And the word rapture is not even in the Bible. Well, that's like the Trinity, you know. The word Trinity is not either. But that doesn't mean that there's not a God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the word rapture, we find here in chapter 4 of verse 17, the word caught up means rapture. It means rapture. Caught up means to catch away. It means to be taken by force. Taken by force. The Bible says, God says right here, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. We'll be raptured, we'll be taken by force to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, we believe in the pre-trib rapture of the church. In other words, we believe that the church is going to be called away before the rapture, before the tribulation ever starts. There are other views that teach otherwise, where the church is going to be here to midway. The tribulation didn't be called up, and then some at the end of the tribulation, they'll be called, they'll be raptured away. But we believe in the pre-trib rapture of the church. I'm glad to know that we won't be part of the tribulation period here on this earth. God is going to deliver his children from that. And I'm glad tonight to know that. Now, the challenge is in view. When we think about this, look what Paul says, first of all. As we look at the challenges, beginning with verse number 1 in chapter 4, we see here what we are to do. What we are to do as born-again believers tonight, what are we to be doing as far as challenging us in this wonderful event that's going to take place one day? As far as I'm concerned, the greatest event yet is to take place on this earth, the rapture of the church. What are we to do? Look in verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to what? Please God. So you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. We see, what are we to be doing as believers in view of the rapture? Knowing the rapture is going to take place one day, what are we to be doing? The Bible says right here, we're to be pleasing God. We're to be living our lives that our lives may be pleasing God. Now, how do we please God? We know in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible tells us there's only one way we can please God, and that's by what? By faith. By faith, we please God. Trusting God. Hebrews 11, 6 tells us that. So we see, first of all, what are we to do as believers tonight? We're to live our lives to please God, knowing that he's going to come one day and take us where he is. We're to please God. Now notice something else. How are we to do that? How are we to please God? The Bible tells us. Look in verse number 3. Look in verse number 3. The Bible tells us, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That includes adultery and all these other sexual sins. Abstain from this kind of lifestyle. Now I believe that not only means physically, I believe it means visibly. Visibly. What we see is what we become, ladies and gentlemen. Be careful what our eyes see, because it can filter into our minds. And I'm amazed at what I see sometimes and how it sticks in my mind, and I don't want it even to be there. But yet it's there. It's there. And the Bible says right here, and challenge us in view of the rapture that's going to take place, we need to be holy and we need to be pure. Verse number 4, look at it. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Your vessel is your body, sanctifying your body, setting apart your body to holy living, to pure living. You see, and abstaining from all this sinful things that are in the world today. This is, if we're looking for the Lord to come, ladies and gentlemen, we will have a desire to live this kind of life. We want to live this kind of life. Notice it says also in verse number 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now, that word means longing after, concupiscence. That means longing after, even as lusting, longing after things that we have no business longing after, lusting, trying, letting the flesh have its way, he says here, not to live like that as the Gentiles which know not God. People that don't know God, that is their lifestyle. But we that know God, we shouldn't live like that. We shouldn't live like that. We shouldn't lust after these kind of things in this world that's visible to us. And in view of the rapture and challenging of looking at the raptures taking place, we don't want to live this kind of lifestyle. We want to be holy and pure. Holy and pure. Look at verse number 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness, living holy. Look at verse number 8. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. He that despises, my, we are thankful tonight for the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that enables us to despise unholiness and ungodliness in this world in which we are so reverent to see it no matter where we go. Now notice something else, what we're to do. First of all, we're to be holy and pure. Holy and pure. Secondly, we are not to deceive another brethren. Look at verse number 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. We're not to deceive any other believer. Don't deceive believers. In other words, what you see is what I am. You know, don't be, you know, a talker and not a walker, so to speak. Don't deceive another brethren. Another thing we're to be doing is found in verse number 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For you yourselves are taught of God to what? Love one another. Love one another. We're taught that as born again children of God. We're to love one another, aren't we? You know, it's hard sometimes to love people in the world because of what they do. But we have no choice as far as God's children. We're to love one another. We're to speak to one another. We're to encourage one another. You know, no matter who they are, if they come once a month or twice every Sunday, whenever they come, we're still to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to love one another. And God help me, and God help you to do that. Love all believers. Look at verse number 10. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. In other words, the more you are together, the more you ought to love and appreciate one another. It's like a family, you know? I went to see my sister this weekend. She had back surgery, and just to see her a little bit, my wife and I. And, you know, it's like, you know, the more you go and visit your family, you know, the more you love them, the more you appreciate them. And that's the way it ought to be in church, you know. You are my family. You are part of my family. We're a family here. Do you know that? Amen. Nod your head. Amen. We're a family. And we are to love one another. Yes. And if we love one another, we're keeping in view this thing that the rapture is going to take place one day. And praise God, all of us that are saved are going to be together forever. Amen. With the Lord. My, let's start loving one another and appreciating one another here, right? Don't wait till the rapture takes place, but love one another. Love one another, and love all believers. Also, something else we're to be doing is to look at verse number 11. Verse number 11, and that you study and to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. Now, this is the words of God. This is not what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. I'm just sharing with you what he says. He's telling us here to take care of your own business. I'm sure you've run across, and I have two busy bodies, right? Somebody can tell you how to solve all your problems and do all, take care of all things you've got in your life that you need help with. But the Bible tells us we need to take care of our own business. We need to pray for others, yes. That's the best thing we can do for one another, is to pray for one another. Those that have needs, those that have problems in their life. And by the way, we all have needs, we all have problems. All of us, we do. Therefore, we need to pray one for another. I don't know of a time in my life that I don't need you to pray for me. I always do. And I always pray for you as a body of believers. I really do. I mean, I call all your names out every day, but I do pray for this church and people in this church. And we ought to do that. So we need to take care of our own business. And then look at verse number 12. These are challenges in view of the rapture. We need to be holy and pure. We need not to, deceive another brother. Love all brothers. Take care of your own business. And then in verse number 12, the Bible says that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. In other words, earn your own living. Work out what you need in your life. Don't expect handouts. It makes me sick. It really does. Go to the bank. Somebody's in line in front of you. And I'm not... Maybe two or three children in their laps and everywhere else. They step up to the counter and they got three or four checks. A check for every child. Somebody's handing out to them. Oh, it just, I don't know. My rise just indignation just goes up. I mean, it really does. You know, I believe we ought to earn what we get. I'm afraid the country today is in the shape it's in because everybody wants something for nothing. Something for nothing. You know, I'm thankful that I was raised up and to learn to work out what you get.
That's right.
You know, amen. If you don't work for it, you don't get it.
Amen.
You don't get it. And by the way, when I was coming up as a child, if I took out the trash, I didn't get paid for it.
Amen.
If I cleaned my room up, I didn't get paid for it.
Amen.
You know, I did it because it was right to do.
That's right.
It was a thing to do. I'm afraid this is what's happening in this world today. Everybody expects something for nothing. Something for nothing, you know. We need to earn your own living. Boys and girls, you stay at home, you need to earn staying there. You need to earn it. You really do. Don't expect mom and dad to feed you for nothing. Don't expect them to pay your electric bill and give you water to clean yourself. Get out there and get busy and work.
Amen.
And help pay. Help pay the bills. You know, that's what you ought to do. I mean, why you stay at home for nothing? You know, I mean, good gracious, let's wake up.
Amen. That's right.
Where's America today? That's why America's in the shape it's in today. Everybody wants something for nothing. Something for nothing. May the Lord help us tonight. We need to earn your own living. Earn your own living. I'm glad today to know that God expects us to do that. God gives us the help to do that. God gives us the mind to do that. And we ought to do it. These are things that should challenge us in view of the rapture is coming, folks. The rapture is coming. The Lord is coming. It's taking place. It's right around the corner. I want you to notice not also the challenges in view of the rapture, but also the chronology of the rapture. In other words, the order. The order of the rapture. Paul gives us specific instructions here on how it's going to take place. How it's going to take place here. First of all, he talks about the purpose of the rapture. There are two reasons. There are two reasons he gives here as he writes this, why he's writing this concerning the rapture. Look in verse number 13. Verse number 13, he says, the first reason is, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We see here, first of all, the first reason, the first purpose is to clarify. He does not want us as God's children to be ignorant of the prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to know that He's coming. He's promised to come. We don't know when, but we know He's coming. He's coming one day. So here we see, first of all, the purpose is to clarify the statement that the Lord is coming. And no matter what they tried to convince me, they'll never convince me that the Lord is not coming one day. He may not come in my lifetime, but He's coming one day. He's coming one day. So we see also another purpose that he gives here as far as the rapture is concerned is to comfort. To comfort. Look at verse number 18. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. With these words that he's wrote. Comfort one another with these words. These words are used many, many times whenever someone is buried at the graveside or maybe in the funeral. We read these passages are read, verse 13 through 18. A comforting one, especially if a Christian dies, because there is hope of seeing that individual again one day. It's comforting to know, thank God I got a mom and a dad, and I got a brother and a sister, and I got some more relatives in heaven. One day I'll see him again. That's comforting to me. Comforting to me to know that, you see. He's given this to us to give us comfort and to encourage each other. To encourage each other with this good news. Life is not just a matter of living 50 or 60 or 70, 80 years, and that's all there is to it. The soul of man lives on forever, either in heaven or in hell. So we see the purpose. He gives us here two reasons. Notice next of all the particulars in this rapture event. The particulars. First of all, we see the return of the Lord. The return of the Lord is going to take place. Look at verse number 14. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Praise God. One day, God's going to say to his son, "Go get the church." He's going to take those that are there and bring them down and meet us in the clouds in the air. The Lord is going to come. He's going to return one day. And this should be a challenge to us to look forward to the rapture of the church. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints. All saints currently in heaven will accompany him whenever he comes. Look at the second part of this verse. Verse 16. Says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what?
Shout."
Shout. You know, Pastor, I wonder what he's going to say. Is it going to be shout? I don't think it's going to be that. I don't know what it's going to be. I have no idea what it's going to be. But I know one thing, it's going to be a shout. The Bible says there's going to be a sound, a loud command. You know, and I believe whenever he shouts, whatever he says, it's going to be a cry of excitement. It's going to be an exciting time. It's not going to be, come up here. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting, you know. Come up, church! You know, I don't know what he's going to say. It's going to be a shout. It's going to be a shout. And it's going to be so loud that the grave is going to bust open. Man, that's loud, isn't it? That's loud. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, the Bible tells us. But we see it's going to be a loud command. Notice also in the second part of the verse, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." We see also the voice of the archangel is going to be involved in this sound. Also, we see with the trump of God, So we see there's going to be a loud command, there's going to be the voice of the archangel, and there's going to be the trump of the call of God whenever this takes place. The return of the Lord, whenever he comes back in the cloud. These three sounds are going to be heard according to this passage of Scripture here. Now notice also another particular, not only the return of the Lord, but also we see also the resurrection of the dead. The Lord is going to come first in the cloud. And then we find in verse number 16, the last part, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." The dead in Christ shall rise first. Someone said, why in the world is God going to raise the dead first? It's a good question, isn't it? Some guy said, there's nothing theological about it, but he said because he got 6 foot further to go. I don't know why. But he's going to call the dead in Christ first, right? He's going to rise them first. I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but that's an answer. Okay, the bodies of the dead believers will rise first. They're going to rise first. Then we find the third thing about the particulars here in the rapture of the church is found in verse 15 and 17. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." What a wonderful time. The believers on earth will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. Why? First of all, to see him. Don't you look forward to seeing him? I look forward to seeing the Lord. I really do. We're going to be caught up in the Lord, first of all, to see him. Then we're going to be caught up in the Lord to live with him. We're going to live with him. We're going to see him. We're going to live with him. And then we find we're going to enjoy him how long? Forever. We're going to enjoy him forever. What a glad day. What a happy time this is going to be. These are things we need. We've got to look forward to in our life as a Christian. But these are challenges, folks. We need to please the Lord in our living. We need to please the Lord in our living. Be holy and pure. Don't deceive another brother. Love one another. Take care of your own business and earn your own living. These things are necessary in view of the rapture. In view of the rapture. You know, he's coming today. May everything be taken care of. Now, over in chapter 5, As we continue about the rapture of the church, we're looking at some of the rules. The rules. In verse number, chapter 5 and verse number 1 and 2. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What are we to watch for? We're to watch for the glorious return of the Lord. Now the Bible tells us He's coming as a thief in the night. You know, if you knew that someone was going to rob your house tonight, you'd go home and you would prepare yourself for it, wouldn't you? I would. I'd do what I could do. But we don't know when the Lord's coming. But we can prepare ourselves. And He wants us to prepare ourselves. He's challenging us now to be prepared. You know, do what we can do to please Him while we're here. You see, be watchful. First of all, be watchful. Watch out. He's coming as a thief in the night. Be watchful. That's what we're to do. The action. The day of the Lord is coming. Now notice also here the reaction in verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. Now look at verse number four. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Now notice here, he's comparing here a two-fold response. The children of darkness and the children of light. The children that are lost and the children that are saved. He's comparing us here with this. In verse number 7, the children of darkness, he speaks of them. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. There's the children of darkness. The unsaved will be all, believe all is quiet and peaceful until sudden destruction falls on them. You know, I can't imagine after the church is raptured, the Lord takes us home. There's going to be a calmness, no doubt, after a while. It's going to take a while, but there's going to be a calmness after a while. That first 3 years of the tribulation period, there's going to be peace a little bit after everything settles down. But then, about midway the tribulation, then everything is going to fall apart. That's when sudden destruction is going to come. We call it the Great Tribulation, the second part of the tribulation. It's going to be a time that this world has never known. Never known. And thank God we don't have to be here. And we won't be here. But notice here the children of light. Look in verse number 6. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Look at verse number 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For verse number 10 tells us, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Talking about us as children of the light. So why? What to watch for? We're to watch for the glorious return of the Lord. Why we're to watch for that is because of who we are. In verse number 5 tells us who we are. You are children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night, nor of the darkness. And because of what we shall escape, we're to be watchful. Look at verse number 9. The Bible tells us, for God has not appointed us unto wrath. To wrath. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the verse that really nails down the fact that we won't be here during the tribulation period. God's not appointed us unto wrath. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, because we can escape this. Now, in verse number 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. We're to be helpful. We're to build up one another. Verse 11 tells us this. In pursuing and seeing and challenging about the rapture of the church, we also, in verse number 14, we're to warn, encourage, and show patience one with another. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. challenges before the rapture takes place, folks. These are things that we are to be doing. We're to be warning, encouraging, showing patience one with another, building up one another in the faith in the Lord, encouraging one another, being respectful. Look at verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And verse number 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves, which honor and love our spiritual leaders. Honor and to love our spiritual leaders. Your Sunday school teacher, your pastor, your leaders in the church, we are to honor them. Amen. We're to honor them. Give them honor. We're to honor them and respect them. We're to, verse 15 tells us another thing we're to be doing. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. We're to be merciful. Do not return evil for evil. Verse number 16 tells us to be joyful. Rejoice evermore. All the time. Be joyful. Brother Keith, are you joyful all the time? No, I'm not. Be honest with you, I'm not. This is things we need to work on. We need to work on these. And if we have focus in our mind that the Lord one day is coming after us, and I want to be what I can be to let others know He's coming and they need to be saved before He does come, it will enhance us and we'll be encouraged to be joyful. I'm afraid sometimes we get bogged down in our work, don't we? We get bogged down in our cares in life, at home, or where we are, and we're not joyful like we could be. If we focus upon the rapture of the church, He's coming. He's coming. He's challenging us tonight. Paul is, with these things here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5 that we ought to be doing. Verse 17 tells us to be prayerful. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. This will challenge us with the rapture coming. We're to be prayerful in all things. Verse number 17 tells us, pray without ceasing. Verse number 18, we're to be thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No matter what happens, we're to be thankful. That's hard to do sometimes. I must say, it's hard to do. I fell off the ladder and broke my back. I wasn't too thankful. But you know, I'm thankful now that God has raised me up and helped me. Amen. You know, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse. No matter what situation we're in, it could be worse. It can be worse. And you know what? We don't have to look far to find others that are in worse situations than we are. Sometimes I think we just need to go to the hospital. We just need to go to the rest home. We do. If you don't go to the hospital and you don't go to the rest home, you'll never learn to appreciate your health and what you've got.
That's right.
But you go visit those places, and it'll change your whole attitude about what you got in life. It'll change your wants too. It'll change your wants also. Because you'll see what people have and how God has blessed you. Verse 19. We need to be careful. It says, quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Verse 19. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I could count there a while, but I won't. We have so much available to us tonight, today in this world in which we live, evil. It's hard not to see some things. But listen, we can avoid seeing a lot. We can avoid it. Sometimes we can't help it, but sometimes we can. Sometimes we can. May the Lord help us as we look in view of the rapture. He's coming. We need to be careful. What we're not to do, we're not to quench the Spirit of God. To not do what we ought to do, what He wants us to do. That's quenching the Spirit. God speaks to me or you about passing out a tract or witnessing somebody, we ought to do it. We don't do it, we quench the Spirit. We quench the Spirit of God. Or we can, on the other hand, we can grieve the Spirit of God. That's to do what we know we shouldn't do. To do what we know we shouldn't do. May the Lord help us and encourage us with that. What to do? Well, to prove all things. And verse 21 tells us that. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all the appearance of evil. Now the reassurance we have of the rapture taking place. We see, first of all, what God will do. Look at verse number 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He's coming. He's coming. In the future, he's coming. At the present, he's sanctifying us through and through. In the future, he's going to present us before blameless before the Christ in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see what God's going to do. God's going to be faithful. God's going to be faithful. Are we? That's the question. Are we? What's going to take place at the rapture? We know one thing. There's going to be a big separation. A big separation of people. We also know that the rapture, there's going to be a great reunion. There's going to be a great reunion. What are we to do? May the Lord, as he challenges us from the Word of God, I encourage you this week to go back and read chapter 4 and 5 in view of the rapture and challenging us of what we are to do. And what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we looking for the Lord to come? Are we just saying, I want to go play golf? Or I want the Lord to come? And really not mean it. And really not mean it. You know, Brother Gene was asking me a question today about faith and the will of God. Very, very challenging question. We still don't know the answer. We're trying to find it, though. But I really believe this with all my heart. I really believe the Lord wants to come back and get his church. I really believe he does. Because he loves his church. But you know, he's waiting. And you know, I don't want to be the one to keep him from coming. I'm not living my life the way I ought to live, and recognizing the facts that there's some things I need to be doing to help others come to know Christ, that he may come sooner. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful, just speculating, wouldn't it be wonderful for you or for me to have the opportunity to go to a house, knock on a door, get an opportunity to go in, sit down and witness to somebody, and lead that person to the Lord, and we hear the voice of our Savior. We hear the trumpet sound, calling up the dead in Christ. But I'm saying the last one to be saved. My. Listen, that are the challenges, folks. Be busy. God help me and God help you today to realize. I believe the Lord wants to come. But do we really want the Lord to come? Do we? Do we really want the Lord to come? The way we live can change it. Sooner or later. I know the Lord's coming in his own time. Don't take me wrong. I know he's coming when he wants to. He knows when he's coming. But I don't want, you know, I want to be challenged from his word to live my life, to know that when he's come, I'm ready to go. And as preacher says so many times, I don't want there to be a big difference in the way I live down here on this earth. And when I step over in the portals of glory, I want to keep on shouting, okay? I want to keep on being victorious in my life down here, because I know the only thing that's going to count in this life, folks, is what we do for the Lord. That's all. That's all we do. Yes, the Lord's coming. The rapture's going to take place. What are we to do and how are we to do it? What are we to do and how are we to do it? May the Lord help us to live our lives to please him, to please our Savior. Let's pray. Father, Thank you for loving us in spite of us. Lord, thank you for giving us a record in your word. Lord, on one day you're coming to take your church home. Lord, we say, Lord, we're grateful that you're going to do that. But Lord, are we really expecting? Are we really waiting? Are we really longing for that to take place? Oh God, stir my heart. Stir us today, dear God, tonight. And help us to realize, Lord, that it's important how we live while we're here. Lord, you've given us your word to challenge us. And Lord, to know what's going to take place. And God, help us now, Lord, as we live our life daily, that our lives somehow may count for you. But we do, Lord, want to see you. Lord, I know, Lord, you long to see your church too. And God, I pray you bring it all together. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be doing what we could do, again, to please you with our life, day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.